Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Do it alone.
Do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you tell me now.
Oh, fire!
wake up, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome, for this wonderful evening. We're grateful and thankful to still yet be amongst the living, grateful that God has always allowed us an opportunity to recognize, know, and understand the things that he desires for us to do, and through our obedience that he will be well pleased in his all his doings and all of our doings. And I'm just grateful and thankful that you chose to be here tonight. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by my lovely husband, Minister Jesse Storr, as we bring forward this message tonight as we speak about your direction, not ours, but we will share through transparency some of the things that we've done in the directions we've been in and how we've had to change the course of direction at times as well in our marriage. And we know that by you being in tune to direction that you're headed, that we know you will eventually find a path to oneness. And that's the purpose of our calls each and every Monday night. Our Blog Talk Radio show is to encourage you to come and embrace this wonderful thing that God created called oneness between husband and wife. And I'm just grateful that you made your way tonight. There is something that I know will be said, that will be shared. And I just pray that it will touch your heart and your spirit. I hope that it will allow you an opportunity that if you've gotten off track, that you will get back on track and go in the direction in which you know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would want you to go. As always, we want to just say to you, if you desire to speak, give us your comments, ask a question, whatever you desire in your heart. We just ask that you try to keep it within 2 to 3 minutes. And then if you have follow-up questions, let us continue to teach a little bit and then hit one again on your phone. All you have to do is hit one to be placed in the host queue after you've been able to speak and after we've acknowledged your call. Always press one again to be taken off of the host queue so that if you desire to speak again a few minutes later or down the road in the broadcast, you will have that ability by pressing one again. So we welcome you tonight. We welcome you to give us feedback. We welcome you to come and share through transparency, but above all, we just welcome the Holy Spirit to intervene in all of our lives, and that he continues to lead, guide, and direct everything we say, do, and touch. Special moment of the evening as we usher in the Holy Spirit. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for being a part of the number and allowing us this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, because he said he would be there with two or more gathered together. We call upon his mighty name. So most gracious and most heavenly Father, we welcome you tonight. We welcome you on this wonderful eighth day of November 2021, a day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again. But on this day, we want to give you the glory, honor, and praise for all that you continue to do in all of our lives. There are so many moving pieces in our lives, and some of us are trying to make decisions on what our next steps are. Some of us are looking for a financial breakthrough. Some are looking, Lord God, to have your divine intervention in various relationships. Some are going through bereavement. We know, Lord God, there's others that are going through challenges in their marriage. There's others that are having issue with their children. There's so much going around and going on in the world, Lord God, and in the United States of America in general. Decisions that must be made, and they must be made by using, Lord God, all of the constituents that allowed all of our elected officials to be in office. And I pray, Lord God, that they put all of us first, Pete, as they make decisions on our behalf. I just pray tonight, Holy Spirit, you not only lead, guide, and direct Jesse and I and our mouthpiece, but you would be with every individual under the sound of our voice, and give them, Father, the ability to be able to understand and know, Lord God, that we must have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And if we don't, Lord God, and if we don't have, you know, some kind of vision or and some kind of direction, we know we will perish. And so we don't want to perish. So tonight we ask for your direction that you would have for the pathway of oneness for our marriages, Lord God. We pray that you allow your divine intervention just to come into our relationships. Redirect it if you have to. Keep us on that track if that's where you want us to be. Just give us the ability through discernment to know that you're speaking to us. So on tonight, Lord God, I continually to pray for all marriages that's represented on our call tonight. I continually thank you for the greatness that you provide Jesse and I and the marriage that you put together for us almost 25 years ago. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are desiring to be married that have made their way to our call tonight. I pray blessings on top of blessings for them as well. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that those that are not even engaged yet in a wonderful marriage, Lord God, that you will provide and prepare for them a perfect soulmate, and at the appropriate time you will bring them together and allow them to walk down the aisle in holy matrimony and be able to walk in this oneness that we speak about week after week. And I know, Lord God, that there's individuals in that category that come to prepare themselves as to how to operate in the moment that you prepare them with their perfect soulmate. They know their role, and they know how to support, and they understand in setting a path out for them and their spouse to be. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for always being a willing vessel to be in our lives and to lead, guide, and direct us. And we just ask that you help us to operate in the fruit of the Spirit in all that we do so that the blessings can continue to flow from you. Tonight, Lord God, as always, I pray that everything that this awesome man of God pours into us, that you would turn around and pour back into him a thousandfold. Everything that he touches, I pray it's blessed by you. I thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to allow all of us to walk this walk and be able to do the things that we're doing on a daily basis, Lord God, because we know who we serve. We serve an awesome and a mighty God, and a God that's all-knowing, that is a God that is our healer, a God that we know, Lord God, is our provider in all areas of our lives. And we want to say thank you, Lord God, for being here tonight in our presence, being the lead and the guide of everything that is in place on tonight. Go and be with our dear minister, Leah Killings, Lord God. I pray many blessings upon her, that healing come forth for her in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you continue to bless all of those that continue to surround themselves in her presence, and that she will continue to be blessed by you. I love you so much, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you for yet another day and another opportunity to be able to declare and decree your word and consider it done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God and give God all glory, honor, and praise. We thank God this evening for being here. Thank God for my beautiful queen, my wife, my everything. As we come together on this lovely November 8th in 2021, giving God all glory, honor, and praise. I know that many of you are still perhaps those that are in the Atlanta, Georgia area are still excited and celebrating the World Series for the Atlanta Braves. And I would not consider myself a fan of baseball or the Braves, but I'm happy for all of those who are Atlanta Braves fans who had an opportunity to see their team win it all this year. As a matter of fact, I believe 1995 was the last time that was accomplished, the year before my queen and I arrived in Atlanta. So we had never been in the city at the same time a world championship had been earned. We came close once before with the Falcons and never with the Hawks since we have been here. So again, hats off to a job well done to the Atlanta Braves, and much kudos to all of the Atlanta Braves fans. You know, they had a direction. Every team in every sport, every activity that engages in competition of any sort, they have a direction. They have a strategy. There's a path that they desire to take. And regardless of what strategic intent they may employ and deploy, they will come to a point to where they need to be in agreement, need to be in alignment. Even sometimes when you may not even understand the game of football or basketball or baseball or soccer or volleyball or swimming or golf or tennis, anything, if it's an individual or if it's a team, but especially if it's a team, you must have a strategy and you must have a pathway where you're trying to, even as an individual, you're working very diligently and doing everything you can to align your mind, your soul, and your body to achieve that which you endeavor to succeed at. And so tonight, we want to come and chat about this pathway to oneness. We'll have a conversation back and forth, and as Tammy indicated, share a little bit about our journey and some of the things that may challenge you. But the beautiful part is, as long as you have a vision and a goal to achieve, even though the path may sometimes appear to be difficult, you will have success in your endeavor. So we thank God for that. See, most ideals we employ to give work to and then pay for, and most activities we deploy when we move into play to execute, are based on the directions, the course of action, and the management of movement we take in life. The employment and deployment combined with the knowledge and or the skills we develop will cause us to experience success or possible short-term failure dependent on the direction you submit in your time in this particular dispensation. We say that because we all, when we are born, we know that at some appointed time, we will leave this place. It's not a reality that we relish or we look forward to, but it is a reality. And even as we think about all of the things that take place, many of us, as we begin to move into the maturation of our life experience, we begin to have, I believe, this driving desire to capture and to preserve as much as possible that which we have experienced. And it's interesting that right now there's a great debate going on about direction, about pathways. When we think about the interstate system in America, we encounter multiple forms of navigation possibilities. If you're on the interstate, they give you exit numbers as well as exit names to make sure you stay on track and that you make it to your destination and to make sure you won't lose your way. They even have the navigation systems, and I know a funny story that my mother shared once before. She and my brother were traveling, and the lady that tells you turn here, turn there, on the navigation system was sharing, turn around and do a U-turn. Exit here and go back the other way. Exit here and go back north. And apparently the driver was not paying attention. And after a while, my mother wakes up, and my brother says, in so many words, I'm paraphrasing, well, what did we do to get this lady to shut up? And my mother looked around and said, wow, she's been trying to tell you probably that you're going the wrong way. And you need to listen to her because we need to exit and turn around and go back. And see how many of us in our lives, it appeared that we were on the wrong pathway. We were on the wrong highway. We were going in the wrong direction. And sometimes we were just too hard-headed to just take a moment to be patient and to listen to someone that God may have put in our presence to tell us what to do. And so in life, we sometimes do the same thing. We ignore or we cut off God's attempt to speak to us in our pursuit of oneness. We need to do everything we can to get around that. See, we know that if you look at those mile markers now, they used to have mile markers like they do today. But somebody must have said, let's make it even more simple. Right now, there's a great debate going on in our government about the infrastructure needs of this country. But see, we sometimes become so accustomed to systems and to the way things are, we rarely give any form of question. And see, you get your pathway to right to oneness correct, you need to have some communication system. It may be written, it may be verbal, it may be in song, it may be in prayer, it may be in whatever way you and your spouse deem appropriate. But you need to have some kind of guiding system, something in place to make sure you maintain your direction to oneness. But tell me, I want to ask you, I mean, I know that no reality, no relationship is perfect, even though I believe that, you know, we've had a tremendous relationship for the past 25 years, and I'm looking forward to the next 25 on top of that. But I just know and understand that there are challenges that we have faced. And you and I, believe, agree that communication is one of the most significant areas in order for us to stay on path, that we have an open communication. So when one or the other seem to be turning the wrong way, is to find a way to get them back on track and not allow a disconnect or even a temporary setback in an area cause the path to become crooked. So what do you think? What are, you know, when you think about this concept of oneness and the pathway, and we know that there are many paths that may lead to the same destination. As we know, even just in our own neighborhood, you could take a different route to get to the end of where you want to go, and you can leave and take a different route and still end up going to the same place. But when you think about this concept of having the right direction and maintaining the pathway to get you to where you want to achieve, what do you think all of us need to do and to be mindful of to make sure that we are not, that we never really get off the path too far? What does the Holy Spirit give you?
Well, Jesse, you know, I'm glad you asked, and I want to first say thank you for this awesome introduction and this awesome topic tonight. I understand and know how important it is to have direction in life. We must understand it, and we must abide by it. And without direction and without hope and without a sense of what you want to accomplish, you really will fall for anything which will cause you not to be as successful as you desire to be in life. There's so many paths that we can take. It's whether or not we take the right path as it relates to relationships, as it relates to marriages. I think the first path that we all have to really be true with ourselves is, how are we really dealing with this word called communication? I mean, when you first think about it, Jesse, and when you meet someone for the first time, there's got to be some communication, if nothing other than asking the individual's name or asking a little bit of small talk about who they are and where they're from and so on and so forth. So communication starts at the very beginning of our relationship. The question, however, would be how often, once we get in the relationship that we get blessed by, that we know has been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it allows us to continue building on that communication to be the individual that God would want us to be. So we have to ask ourselves, from the very beginning, when so many of us can probably go back down memory lane and think about when you first met your spouse, how many hours you spent on the phone just talking, communicating with one another. As a matter of fact, I even remember when Jesse and I used to talk for hours, him being in one city and I'm in another, and we didn't see each other every day, but we spoke every day and for an extended period of time. And there were times when we both have had a long day, and back then he had a little bit more energy than I did. And once I settled down and didn't, you know, move around as much, and I got in a quiet position, I often would fall asleep, And I recall many times that just didn't want to hang up the phone and would just continue just to learn a little bit more about this awesome man that I was blessed with, that every now and then I would fall asleep because I just didn't want to say goodbye and know that I should go on to sleep. And so we fast forward to 5 years, 10 years, God forbid if it's only 1 or 2 years, but you get to the point where you think you know enough about everyone, that you know enough about your spouse, and you don't feel that that communication is as important because there's not a whole lot that you want to communicate. Well, we've come tonight to kind of let you know and enlighten you on that. It's very important that you keep this thing called communication as a part of the direction of the path to oneness that you need. Because without communication, you will not survive whatsoever. There are times when it gets rough in your relationships. Trust me, we understand that. We're human. We go through challenges just like you do. But the question is, how do you deal with it? Are you utilizing your gifts that God has given you to be able to communicate? Think back 10, 15, 20, maybe 2 or 3 years ago when you first became, got together and called yourself being committed to one another and then allowing yourself to be engaged. And during that process, continuing to learn more and more about each other before you say, I do. And then once you get in that marriage, are you doing as God told us in Joshua 1:9? He said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For your Lord God will be with you wherever you go, including your marriage. So the number one thing, Jesse, that I would personally say that we need to do, we need to understand that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us power, love, and a sound mind to use for the upbuilding of our marriages, for the uplifting, upbuilding of his kingdom. He gives us the ability to understand that there is so much more in life that we can do if we allow ourselves to be in a position to accept what God will want us to do. I know so many of you hear me talk about when I speak about Proverbs 23, when I speak about verses 3 and 4. We got to understand getting this word in our heart and in our spirit helps us when we go through difficult times. You can't wait until there's a lack of communication and not put what you need to put in your heart and in your spirit to be able to build on that communication, to bring up the scriptures that God places in your heart to help you out in a difficult situation. because I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. If there is going to be an opportunity that there is a heated discussion between Jesse and I need to make sure that I'm ushering in and I'm welcoming in the Holy Spirit. If we have to take a few moments apart sometimes, I have to get to my quiet moment, leave him in his quiet moment so that we can come back together and understand what it means when God tells us, you know, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, if we take a scripture like that out of Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, I mean, we have no choice to be on the right track, be in the right direction. And God forbid if you take Psalms 51:10 with you, because we all know that we need to be able to create in us a pure heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. And the reason why that's so important, because every now and then, your heart is not as pure as you think it should be when it comes to your spouse. And sometimes you need to check your spirit. You need to check your heart. Is it pure? Is it a steadfast spirit? I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you, you can more than likely answer that yourself. And the more that you understand and the more that you know that it is better to have a soulmate by your side to help make decisions. And so even as a part of your communication, when you're looking to make decisions, communicate with your spouse first. Never make a decision as it relates to your finances, as it relates to your job changing, as it relates to purchasing major items in your home, as it relates to major decisions for your children. Never make those decisions without communicating first with your spouse. And so I leave you with this on this topic, Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, which you hear me speak about so often. Some of these scriptures I can't help but share week after week because they just bless my soul. They bless me to be able to overlook the times when we have a lack of communication in our household, when we have a miscommunication in our household, when we have a communication that has gone left or gone right but is not in the middle, and there is some chaos, there's some havoc that has been brought upon in our house, that we then have to use the power within us to rebuke Satan and request his presence to be gone from our home. We have to believe it by faith and know that this is not the way that God has ordained and designed for our lives to be. And the more you get it in your heart and your spirit that there is a purpose for the communication that is so key, that will give you direction as to how you will take the path to oneness. And once you take that path, you don't ever want to veer off that road, because you know it's such a great road. And I don't know if you've been to Maui and you had an opportunity to go to the road of Hana. And I tell you, it is hard as a driver to ever want to take their mind, their eyes off of the road, because it's so beautiful. They have to consciously remember that I got to keep my eye on the road because it's such a winding and curvy road. But the beauty when you take your eyes off of that road is amazing. It's spectacular. It is a time when you never want that road to end because of the beauty that God created before our eyes. The same thing with your marriage. As much as that road to Hana is so beautiful, your marriages can be the same. If only you believe. Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. There's nothing like being able to ride down the road in a direction that you know your spouse and you are going in, and a communication opens up that is so beautiful, and you're able to support each other, able to respect, have patience, self-control, to allow your spouse to to be able to speak and you speak and be able to share one to another. I pray communication levels open up like never before. If you're off track, get your GPS back out that Jesse just spoke about. Do a U-turn in this thing called marriage and relationships and communication. When you make that U-turn, get back on track. Study it before you take another move to know where you're going, and then work on it together and watch God show up and show out. May God bless you, and may your communication levels continue to increase like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Powerful. Powerful. You know, B.W. Mike Size, B.W. Bill Withers said something at one time. We'll just play about a minute of this song and then come back with some comments about this communication thing that we can use in this 21st century.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
I don't know not one brother and sister that walk in oneness does not feel that way when one or the other has left for just a moment, but especially when they're separated. I mean, the main thing that we want to get across tonight is that we have to stress that there's a need to have a clearly defined understanding and agreement of what oneness is before you embark on your journey. To achieve success, we must pursue the key components that we know are necessary to experience success in any of the endeavors we undertake in life. Now, we were chatting the other day, attempting to come up with those events and those experiences and relationships in life, but we are not taught, we are not trained in how to deal with them. Think about marriage and the awesome responsibility that both parties have in coming together in marriage. Yet when we come together, we may come together from so many different backgrounds, so many different life experiences. And so we're going to take a few examples of where when we come together as one, that we have to take into account that we are not marrying a robot. We are not marrying someone that may have lived across the street from you. But we do occasionally hear of those situations where there was a couple that They've known each other since elementary school. They've known each other since middle school, since high school, or they met in college, whatever it may be. But that's not always the situation. Sometimes we come together. And so, Tammy, let's just maybe look at some of these examples that we have in life that cause us to have a need to, as you say, communicate more openly and more effectively. We know right now a lot of us are not in what's called intact nuclear relationships or that have come from those where we've had a mother and a father who had a cordial or loving relationship. Why is it, Tammy, why do you think it's so important that if we are, even in our marriage, if we're married, and even if we're looking at to get married, why is it important to vet and to assess and to look at your spouse's life experiences? Why is that necessary or important if you want to walk in the path of one? I'd like to hear your comments on that. Because I know, I'll tell you this, everybody will come with a different perspective, and that's okay. But I'd like to hear, what do you think about that, the life experience?
Well, Jesse, I think that one of the things we got to understand is the Bible talks about being equally yoked with one another. And you got to, you know, part of the communication early on is getting to know a little bit about your spouse or your spouse-to-be and the person you're dating. And one of the ways you do that is you ask quite a few questions. Once you get to the point you're comfortable enough, you've asked enough questions and you're ready to go meet the family, then you can kind of look and dig a little bit deeper into somewhat of the upbringing, some of the life experiences, not only that you've shared with me or may our listening audience that they've shared with one another in terms of getting together and starting to court and get to know each other. But once you share it and then you go and actually allow yourself an opportunity to be in the presence of, in this case, would be the in-laws to be, or in-laws in some cases, where you may not get to really know your spouse's family until later sometimes in life. And that does happen. But what you want to do is to give yourself a better understanding of how to deal with that individual, because we all know that we're all different. We come together in oneness, and that's why we communicate to let each other and express to each other how we were raised and how we would like to raise our children, and asking the right questions to learn a little bit about the morals and values that are within our spouse. And I know that sometimes just by us expressing our life experiences, and sometimes it just is by, you know, experiences in general when things happen, maybe a response of something that you may respond a certain way because of the way you were brought up in Detroit, Michigan, versus the way my life experience was being brought up in a small community of Vincennes, Indiana, where I did things a lot different than you did. I wasn't constantly looking over my back and wondering if somebody was going to come behind me and do something that may not be nice, or I wasn't always fearful by being out after dark that someone may shoot at me. You know, we've had some very different life experiences, but the beautiful thing is when you come together with those different life experiences, it gives you the ability to be able to appreciate and to hold fast to one another. And so I always think about when I'm thinking about Hebrews 10:23, Jess, I think about, you know, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And we know God, when he puts us together, he strategically picks out our soulmate. If only we are well enough and good enough to hear his soft, sweet voice as to who he desires for us to be with. And so when we do that, we know that God allows us to continue to have hope in our relationships based on the life experiences that he brought us through. And because of sharing and communicating, he allows us to get through them and be able to understand each other better as we move on in life. And that's what it's all about. So the life experiences, incorporate them, understand them, and do your part to be a part of them. And do your part to also understand your soulmate, your spouse, so that you can have a better open communication in your relationships?
You know, I appreciate that because one of the things that I hear people say often is that once we are married, then I'm going to be able to show them this, or I'm going to convince them of this or that. And see, that's the wrong attitude, I believe, to take. The person you should really focus on most is yourself. Because if you focus most on yourself, then you will find out that it appears the other person is changing. But in reality, it's because of your willingness to embrace and to understand the differences that they, your spouse, may have, because they were not raised and born up like you were brought up. You'll give consideration to other realities. We have parents. Some of us have parents that are great parents. Sometimes we have parents that are different. Sometimes parents change during the course of our life. And what a parent may have been when we were smaller or middle age or older, whatever, it's a dynamic relationship. It's not stagnant. Is forever emerging. But one of the things that it seems to, you mentioned being born in different areas and different realities. And some of that is impacted by social economic realities. How sometimes you hear people speak in terms of, oh, you don't need to marry beneath yourself, or oh, you need to try to marry above yourself. And see, sometimes that's rooted in the concept that some kind of way money is going to bring you a level of happiness, or a level that's going to allow you to be happy. But I know in many of the people that I know that where money has never been an issue, they don't appear to be happy. Some of the richest people in the world that we think in terms of being rich beyond any shadow of a doubt, yet when we read their autobiographies and their biographies, we discover they were miserable people because they never truly experienced love. So tell me, I guess, one of the things that come to my mind in the concept of this pathway to oneness and staying intact and in line. But what's a quick ideal or a quick example? Because the one thing I loved about you were many things I did when I met you. You were a single person, a young lady, but you were debt free. You didn't owe anybody any money. What was it that caused you to make sure that when you would come together with someone else, you'd be debt free? I mean, what drove you, or what was the motivation that said, hey, this is not going to be a disconnect when the right one comes my way?
Well, Jesse, I think, you know, in everything we do in life, we truly got to kind of really look in the mirror first. And we have to really get to the point of maturity as we continue to move in age. You know, you don't expect someone that might be 13, 15, even though many years ago they did get married around those ages. But in reality, we think about, you know, really making that turn in your mid-20s, and God forbid, in some of us, and I.E. was with me, and close to 30 before I even thought about settling down or thinking about bringing another individual into my life and being a part of my life. And I just knew that it was so important that before I did that, I had to make sure that I was together, I was confident, that I had the ability to go and be in the workforce for a period of time, that I knew I could also contribute to the household, that I had the ability also to make sure I brought good credit so that what we bring to the marriage that we can also develop from that marriage and continue to grow from it and be the best that we can be. I didn't want to bring a lot of baggage to a marriage. And that was one of the things for me that caused me not to want to get married right away. There were a few things I wanted to accomplish on my own. And one of those was to be able to purchase a house. It was to be able to purchase cars. It was to be able to take care of my finances in a way that I was in good standing financially before I got married. And I thank God that he put me in that position. And I thank God that you were the same. And so when we came together, it was easy for us to allow oneness to be with our finances, is because neither one of us had done a whole bunch of craziness with our money that has been gifted to us through the hard work that God allowed us to create within us in the workforce. So I think that only helped us, and I think it continues to help us today in having oneness in our finances and allowing our finances to be in check and in tune with the way that we desire them to be at this particular juncture in our lives. And if your finances aren't together, it does make a big difference in your marriage. And I encourage you to position yourself, work together, communicate, and get it together. And especially if you don't have oneness being operated in your household now, in your finances, we strongly, highly recommend you to do that. You will see it will draw you nearer. It will draw you closer. One of the scriptures I'll leave you, James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So you are double-minded if you're not allowing your finances to come together. We got to understand that as individuals, we have the ability to draw near, and as couples. So we want God to help us to come to a daily confession that we trust and we believe in our spouse so that we can move it to higher heights and to bigger and better levels of communication and in a better direction as to where we want to go as our path to oneness.
It's amazing when I think of those things we can do, and especially in the area of finances, is just limit ourselves. I remember the days in corporate America doing things that I would even give consideration to today. But we live and we learn. But even doing those things, it was never like beyond reason. Because one of the things that I think was very important was to have and represent a moral foundation, to have a foundation that would allow you to operate within some boundaries. And if you could operate within those boundaries, then good things were going to happen at some point. So when you think about what I call moral alignment, then when you was thinking about getting married, and I know everybody I hope is thinking in these terms, what role in your vetting and assessment of men that you may have given consideration to, or what role did their value system, their moral foundation have or will have, you think, today, even when you have a disagreement? Well, we may have a disagreement. The one thing we have is always to come back and humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the leadership of the Father. So how valuable do you think it is for a strong moral code, a belief in the Creator, to be a centering point for spouses desiring to experience oneness in their relationship?
Well, Jesse, it really doesn't matter what we do in life. I mean, there has to be some moral value that we look into everything we do. You know, we got to ask ourselves, who are you really and truly, you know, wanting to be like? I mean, the individual that you bring in your life that you want to be a great role model for your children. You want to be a great role model for your nieces and nephew. You want to be a great role model for those that you might come in contact in the streets. Situations like we've had a lot of encounterments with, you know, so many student athletes simply because of the ministry that we've created within all that we do, the Omega Ministry Group. And one of the areas is ministering to our student athletes, whether it be basketball or whether it be tennis or whether it be softball and other sports that we've been very actively involved in as it relates to our children. And so you're allowing yourself also to be an influence to other children that you come in contact with. So, you know, one of the things that I think is very true and dear is how we carry ourselves. I know when I first met you, Jesse, I watched you and I watched the way you carried yourself, the way you responded. Now, don't get it twisted. There have been a couple times that sometimes even in that dating stage when, you know, I felt you just stood up very firm, especially to other people that may not be responding in the right way, especially if it relates to me when we first started dating. And you would stand up and sometimes I would be like, Jesse, I don't know if that was necessary to be that forceful and that firm. But I, again, as I stated earlier, it's where you grew up. It's how you had to take up for yourself. It's how you had to stand up for yourself. And it was a little different for me. So some of that caused me to step back a little bit, but it was appreciative because I knew you had my back. But I want someone that understands and knows that we don't want no corruption of whatsoever that comes out of our mouths. We hear that in Ephesians 4 and 29. You know, we want to make sure that the things that come out of our mouth are good, you know, for the building up, that as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so for me, I always needed someone that wasn't afraid, number one, to stand up for their right, but number two, that would love me unconditionally and love me for me and who I am. And I think the way you were brought up with love and a lot of value and morals within you that I was looking for. And so it was very easy for me to watch you in action and know and see that you were the individual that I wanted. And now there's individuals under the sound of my voice that may not be able to say that, Jesse. And so they have to go back and reevaluate where the signs were. Were they, you know, ignorant to some of those signs? And if so, make the correction now.
Powerful, powerful. But I tell you what, that's the key. A couple of things that you said tonight are so valuable. Open communication, vetting each other. Even after you are married sometimes, perhaps you didn't complete the vetting that was necessary that God wanted you to complete. Now you're married. It doesn't mean that it's too late for you to ask some of those questions. As we close tonight, we want to encourage you to make sure you ask those questions. Sit down and ask questions of this person that you're married to. Perform a self-assessment of what areas you think you need to address to be a better person. Because believe me, if you become a better person, you will indeed have a better marriage. If you have an attitude of saying, and I've heard many say, I'm not changing. I'm just me. I'm a dude. No, you must change. Because even as good as you think you are, none of us are beyond the need to improve. Then lastly, come together and discuss the challenges you and your spouse agree should become a focus for joint improvement. Nothing is more exciting than that. Now, some of that may be something as simply as working out. It may be praying together. It may be doing something together. Whatever it may be, come together. Until next time, we want to encourage you to come together and do all things in love and allow God to anoint you and grant you favor in your marriage and all the things that you do. Stay on the line or come back on at 9 o'clock, brother. Dial back in at 9 o'clock. Hear the beautiful ministry.
Agape love.
You're from your love, from your joy.